Good Tuesday. We're live at Camp Tanazona. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. On the road, we are on AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio. And, of course, we're on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. At Camp Tanazona, we're here at Coles Ranch. Good people, Diamond Resorts said, get on up here. This is our 20th year of coming up to Coles Ranch. Some years we've used Carrier Pigeon in order to get the show back to Phoenix. Some years, now that we're statewide, we just do it through hooking up a couple things. I'm in a great spot. I'm overlooking Christopher Creek. I'd say there's probably about 50, 60 people. I've already had a couple of ASU fans come upstairs. The team will get up here later today. And they said, Sussmat, you're back here again. Yeah. Why not? This is the story. This is the place to be. Our coverage brought to you by the good people at the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. The White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter, they have their White Mountain Steak Frying Golf Tournament every June. Proceeds go to the White Mountain Scholarship Program. These guys are really true big-time Sun Devils. Some will walk around and say they're big-time Sun Devils. All I know is the people at the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter walk the walk, talk the talk. They do it right. We appreciate their support. So on the show today, there's a lot around ASU that I'm going to get to. The team, I'll go over and meet them this afternoon. We have some other deals going on in the world of sports we want to get to. Pedro Gomez, our weekly ESPN baseball insider, Valley resident, he'll come on board. I'm going to have Goody on today because of the passing of Robin Williams. I'm sure Bill has some thoughts, and usually on Fridays we do, Bill, but with the passing of Robin Williams, I think he and I are going to get together on this at the bottom of the hour. And then we'll talk United as we do every Tuesday. Matt Castle, AZ United SC captain, midfielder, we'll talk about their upcoming match. And I want to talk to him, too, about was he surprised Landon Donovan retired and Andre maybe being the next in line. And so we'll have some soccer talk in hour number two. In between that, as always, things that are on my mind in the world of sports, a lot of different directions that we go on the show. I'm back from Chicago. Eric, the first thing Eric says, first of all, he's on Facebook. You're just kind of creeping on me. I go on this vacation. It actually wasn't so much a vacation. It was me taking my daughter away to college. And all you want to know about is if I cried or not. Like, you want to pick on me. What is your deal? What is your problem?
Well, I wasn't really creeping on you. I mean, you posted like 17 pictures in a span of 36 hours. So every time I opened up my Facebook account, you were the first mug that I saw. So again, perception reality. Again, perception reality on this show.
What are you talking about? I wanted to have fun.
I don't know.
It was fun.
I just asked you if you cried. That's all.
Have you ever done Chicago?
I have. Great city.
Oh my gosh, it was. And I've done Chicago before, but this was a different sort of deal. I was at Geno's East on Saturday night, and it was an hour and a half just to get a pizza, but it was so worth it. And now I've got to run mountains up here, at Camp T. I got to do like Mount Cush to get rid of the 50 pounds I put on over the last 4 days. So.
Deep dish,
right?
Some
Chicago stories. Of course.
Yeah.
What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of beers and some deep dish sitting outside on a beautiful Saturday night in the city. What else do you want in Chicago? So it was a really good time. So we'll talk about that a little bit, maybe at some point. But let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ coming up on three straight years now. Great support from the people at the Honda Resort and Casino. And for you to get away, start looking towards the weekend, you want to head on out to the high country, head to outside of Pine Top to the Honda Resort and Casino, eat some great food, have fun with your friends, maybe during the day go out and do some fishing in the Great Lands, and then at night pull down on that slot, win some cash, and have some fun. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So I'm going to go down to Tillman Rock later today. For those of you that have never been here to Camp Tanazona, Arizona State has had some lousy football teams through the years. I mean, they've had some teams that you looked at and you said they couldn't play dead. They're going to get run over like a freight train. And, of course, people with ASU is, oh, we're going to be great. We're going to be fabulous. No. This is a year, though, that I really believe that the momentum of the Todd Graham era. Now, some will say, well, look at how they ended the season last year, the loss in the Pac-12 title game to Stanford and then getting beat up in the Holiday Bowl. Yeah, you're right. They've lost two in a row. I get it. But I do believe that this is a deeper football team in certain areas offensively. I'll give you a couple players to watch when you get up here. And if you've never been up here, I've talked to some Sun Devil fans that, well, I've never been. Look, use your I'm too well to attend work day today. I'm thinking of using my son, you are too well to be at school on Friday. I'm thinking of using that card this coming Friday and just saying, get in the car, let's go, let's get some donuts, let's race up to Camp Tia, Dad'll do a show. I'll go down the field, get some people to come on, and then we'll hang out. I would encourage you guys to do that. If you've never been up here before to Camp Tonizone, it's a very simple drive. Wherever you're listening to me from around the state, wherever you're taking this in, we're just outside of Payson, about 18 miles, and the people here at Coles Ranch are terrific. It's the place to stay. There's some players on the defensive side of the football. You've heard about Jalen Strong. You've heard about DJ Foster. You've heard about Taylor Kelly. You got it. I understand. You need to learn about a kid named DJ Calhoun. You need to learn about a young man named Marcus Ball. These are players that are not on your radar screen as of yet, just like Will Sutton was never on your radar screen, and now he's playing in the National Football League. Like Marion Grice wasn't on your screen, and the other night Marion Grice is running for the Chargers against the Dallas Cowboys. These are young men that I think have the potential to play at the next level. We all know about Jalen Strong and how he's viewed as one of the top wide receivers in the nation, how DJ Foster has gotten better and better and better, and it's a hometown kid from Saguaro High School making good. How Taylor Kelly, in my opinion, is a Heisman Trophy dark horse as the season goes along. Here is Todd Graham on Taylor Kelly and how he's going to give Taylor Kelly more play-calling influence for this coming season.
I think one of the great challenges we have this year is how can we make our quarterback better? Because we don't want him to be like he was last year. We want him to be the Pac-12 championship quarterback. Some of that requires us letting go of what of our control. Taylor Kelly needs to be the offensive coordinator of our offense on that field. And part of that's us, you know, letting go of that. And that's hard to do.
It's really interesting when you hear Todd Graham talk like that, because Mike Norvell is the co-head coach or whatever title they've given him this week, but they've given him a huge bump in salary, and it's really Mike Norvell's offense. But the fact that Taylor Kelly's three years into this deal, giving him more experience, giving him more of a leash, helps ASU in certain ways. If Taylor Kelly goes out and has success and he's allowed to have that amount of influence, if you're sitting in the home of a future quarterback, whoever that kid is, you can point to Taylor Kelly and look at the development that we had with Taylor Kelly when he was at Arizona State and he went on to the next level. And Taylor Kelly can tell those young men at quarterback, hey, you know what? They gave me so much leeway and latitude, I was able to accomplish A, B, C, and D. So I don't think this is lip service, because if you go up to him after a practice is over, or after the season's over, and he says, you know, that whole thing about me having more experience in play calling is just a charade, that's not going to fly. That's just not going to fly. So I'm really interested on that front with Taylor Kelly. Defensively, I mentioned Marcus Ball and I mentioned DJ Calhoun. These are just a couple of names of players that have received a lot of attention and a lot of hype as they come up here to Camp T. And that's great. But the defense being so young, they are talented, but I think they're going to be one of those defenses that you're going to see some busted plays early in the season.
You know, we have some dynamic players. I think Damaris Randall's one that I think is poised to have an incredible year. And what we're in the process of doing right now, and this spring we did a lot of it, is to adapt what we're doing to our guys. But we have some very, very explosive young men.
So that's something to look at on the defensive side of the football. The bottom line is this is a team that won the Pac-12 South last year. And people will say USC was a train wreck. They went through a change with their coach. They've had the loss of scholarship. UCLA is better. Yeah, last time I checked, ASU beat up on UCLA last year at the Rose Bowl. So you look at the Pac-12 South this year, and for Todd Graham, the expectations and goals have not changed.
I like this football team, and our motto is unfinished business, and that's to be Pac-12 champions. And our program is going to be about winning championships. The goal you can see on the back of the wall back there is to be national champions, and that's every rep, every day, everything we do.
And that sounds great. Any coach is going to say, we aspire to be national champions. I'm sure at Colorado this year, they're saying, we aspire to be national champions, even though they have no shot. At California, we aspire to be national championships, to win national championships, even though the Cal Golden Bears are awful with a capital A. I get it. In Todd Graham's case, I think they've got enough offensive talent that they could really do some things special this year. And so here at Camp Tonizona this week, this is not just another roll-through camp team. You know, there's going to be some that pick UCLA to win the Pac-12 South and USC. But give me a more consistent-looking offense. You can go over to UCLA, I get that. But within the Pac-12 South, you can't give me USC. They lost Marquise Lee. You cannot give me U of A. They don't have their quarterback as of yet. They have a lot of skill talent. But you can't say it's U of A. They lost Kadeem Carey. You can't give me Colorado, and you can't give me Utah. So at least offensively, I think you look at Arizona State, and as they open up this camp, they're expecting record crowds up here this weekend. And there's already some fans up here. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. So there's that's on my mind. So I was out of town but got back last night and saw that Darnell Dockett decided to punch out Bradley Sewell. Okay, so that's predictable. They blew out the Texans 32-0. By the way, funny story, I'm in Chicago, and I asked them, can you flip around one of these TVs to the Cardinals-Texans game? Eric, what do you think the response was at Geno's East of, can you please flip around one of these to the Cardinals-Texans game on Saturday night?
I'm guessing there was like no response. No, there was probably no response. The guy or girl probably just looked at you and was like, what?
Yeah, I didn't hear you. Are you high? Are you kidding me? We're not going to switch. We're not going to pull all these TVs over to the Cardinals and Texans. Come on. So, of course, they had Johnny Manziel on every television there. Of course. And that's fine. It's fine. It was the highest rated preseason game ever on NFL Network against the Lions.
And that's not saying
In fact,
much.
It's coming. No, it's not because it's NFL Network. But this Monday, it's the Browns against the Washington Redskins. What type of number is that game going to get? And I understand it's preseason, people's fascination, but Johnny Football has just turned the league upside down, and there's not anybody that's nearly as compelling that has come into the league. For that many people to sit there and watch preseason football just to see what Johnny Manziel is doing, I mean, I understand the power of the NFL. I get that. So that's on my mind. There's more on Tony Stewart I want to get to. I've got a thought here on Rory McIlroy blowing out his girlfriend. We talked about last week how Rory blew out his girlfriend. All of a sudden, he started winning. Does this transcend into all sports? I mean, think of it this way. Eric just got married, and the pressure's on him to do better. I've been going at this for 25 years with the same girl. I don't know how I've done it. I don't know how she's done it. So I got something on Rory McIlroy. In fact, I may run some of it by Pedro next. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst on the other side at Camp Tonizona, Coles Ranch. Brad Sussmat, the next 4 days here with ASU football. Sports360AZ.com.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com. Time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Pedro Gomez joins us every week, ESPN baseball analyst. Good to hear from Pedro. We're live at Camp Tonizona outside of Payson. ASU football will be here later today and be here the entire week. Pedro joins us from his car, is my understanding. Where are you?
In the shadow of Picacho Peak, heading down to Tucson, Brad.
Why are you going to Tucson?
Enrolling my oldest. Remember we talked during the summer about how he was a college pitcher. He was going to go to Scottsdale. And things have kind of changed a little bit. And a roster spot came open at U of A for a left-handed pitcher. And Andy Lopez called and offered it to Rio, to my son.
Wow. Whoa. So wait a second. So hang on here. So baseball analyst, driving son, we did a piece on Rio. And it was a great piece, I thought. Eric did a nice job. So Rio, who we did a piece on, now the next step He's going to the U of A?
It all happened on Thursday and Friday of last week. A roster spot came open. Somebody got hurt, and they needed a lefty pitcher. They had been tracking him up in the summer league up in Oregon and, you know, spoke to coaches up in the league and felt confident enough to say, the spot's yours.
Are you driving right now? Are you pulled
I
over?
I am.
You're pulled over.
Are we getting a bad reception?
No, you're fine. You're fine. I want to know, is Rio there with you?
Oh, yes. We're here. It's a rush job because we had to get transcripts and had to, you know, pull everything together because school starts on August 25th.
Yeah, well, let me talk to him real quick. Put him on the phone.
Hold on a second.
It's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst. Rio,
hello?
Who we did a piece on at Sports Research. Rio.
Hi.
So how did this all come about with you going to the U of A? Tell me about this, Rio.
So about a couple of weeks ago, they got in contact with me, and they said that they were interested, but they were just going to watch me over the fall at Scottsdale CC because they were looking to send some JUCO players for the year after. And then about a week ago, I got a call saying that unfortunately one of their players her tore his UCL and he's done for this year, and that there's another spot available, and they're wanting to make this happen as fast as they could. And then so yeah. From there, and within these last couple of days, we've just put it all together.
Rio Gomez, Pedro Gomez's son, is with us. It's usually Pedro's segment, but Pedro's not important today. Rio is important because Rio is going to you. So you broke poor Scottsdale Community College's hearts. How did they handle it?
You know, I haven't even passed the message along to them yet. I was just waiting to make sure everything all went through with U of A before I called and told them. So I was going to call and tell them later today, in fact.
Yeah. Did Arizona State ever call you? Because you know that there's a bunch of Sun Devil honks that are listening right now. They're going to say, why is he not going to ASU? Why U of A?
You know what? No, I've never... I've never had any sort of contact with ASU at all.
Yeah. Well, so what is U of A getting? I mean, we did this nice piece on you. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was a great piece. A lot of people checked it out. But what is U of A getting out of you?
I suppose just another left-hander that can hopefully make the pitching staff and the team a little better.
That's good. That's good stuff. Well, Rio, congratulations. You know, we kind of have a vested interest because we did a story on you, so we want to see you do well on this next step. You can hand me back to your dad now. Best of luck, all right?
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Sure, Rio. See you later.
All right. Here you go.
That was Rio Gomez. You've done some media training with him, it sounds like.
I gotta give him a little training.
No, he's fine. He's fine. So this is a big deal, so I won't keep you long. But I want to know, switching gears on this,
yeah.
And it's hard for me to switch gears on this, but I wake up today and I see where the Kansas City Royals are in first place. There's nothing going on with the Diamondbacks that I find remotely interesting today, unless you do. And then I hear Verlander's going to have an MRI on his shoulder. So where do you want to start with all this? What's of interest to you today?
Well, usually teams – really know themselves better than other teams, and it would not surprise me at all if the Tigers had an inkling that something was wrong. I mean, Verlander's velocity is not what it was even a year ago. He's down into the low 90s, and that would not surprise me in terms of why they made the David Price move. I know that it was also to add to Verlander, Scherzer, Porcello, and at a price, but if they kind of have an idea, and Verlander has not had the type of season that Verlander has shown in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So the Tigers probably sensing, we don't know what's up with Verlander, and if we're going to have a chance, we're going to have to make a bold move. And obviously David Price is a bold move. There's no doubt about that. So that kind of makes sense now in retrospect. In terms of the Royals, you know, I was with the Royals a week and a half ago, when John Lester made his big league debut, and I went in, I spoke to a bunch of the players, and, there was actually a sense that they they kind of had a feeling they were about to go on a roll. It's just one of those things that when you're in a big league clubhouse, and Brad, you know this, you talk to a bunch of guys, there's a certain confidence level that you sense. And, you know, Eric Hosmer was just placed on the disabled list the day that I was there, but yet they kind of felt like it doesn't matter. Right now, our pitching is really hitting on all cylinders. We feel like we're about to be able to put together some games where we can. They have been situationally hitting better in the last 5 or 6 days. And so it's not surprising that they've gone on a roll. Now, winning 9 in a row is different. That's a heck of a roll, obviously. But the Royals, there's something going on there. And I picked them in March to win the division and was ridiculed in June when they were not playing well. But I think that there's something there with the Royals, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they make the postseason.
So once again, I have to point out the obvious, and that's if they can win in Kansas City and if they can win in Oakland, why can't they win in Arizona? So I don't want to hear about how the stadium is too big. Don't want to hear about how there shouldn't be retaliation from the Pirates and you know, the Pirates play a game a certain way. I don't want to hear about the Dodgers jumping in the pool. It's like there's all these excuses that get off of the obvious. It's, guys, they're winning in Kansas City, and they're winning in Oakland. There's no reason there can't be success in Arizona. Am I right?
Absolutely. The difference is that in Oakland and in Kansas City, they look at our number one objective is to get pitching, both starting and relieving pitching. That is the only way to win. The only way to win at the big league level is to have starting and relief pitching. And you look at the Royals' bullpen is, I believe, it's third in the American League right now. The rotation is really solid. It's not spectacular, but it's solid. In Oakland, the rotation is spectacular, and the relieving is also spectacular. It's a common formula. The teams that win have the best pitching. Forget offense. It's about pitching first, then securing the offense. And that's the winning formula. It's been the winning formula in baseball for over 100 years, and I suspect it will be the winning formula for the next 100 years. It's always about pitching. If you can't pitch, especially in the rotation, because even if you have the best bullpen in the world, if you're taxing them day in, day out, then forget it. They will run out of gas. But when you look at what the Royals have done, yeah, they traded a phenomenal prospect in Will Myers a couple of years ago. But what did they get? They got James Shields, who is a solid, solid number two type starter. You know, a free agency, they didn't break the bank, but they got somebody like Jeremy Guthrie, who is very, very solid. They got someone like Jason Vargas, again, solid. That's the difference. It's all about being solid. The A's draft and are able to develop guys like Sonny Gray. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Safe travels and the best of luck getting him enrolled. You're not going to be like Scott Boros here, are you? You're not going to be like demanding and hard to deal with.
I will not. I promise you that, Brad.
Yeah. I'll talk next week. Stay well. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst. It's a cool story. Taking his son Rio to call. So, Eric, you're the one that did the Rio story when he was up in Portland. So do we need to like follow Rio Gomez going forward?
No, I don't think so. And it was technically he played in the summer league in Bend, Oregon. So yeah, it's just right outside of Portland. He played for the Bend Elks, which is a popular summer league team. And from my understanding, when he went up there to play, quite a few colleges go up there and just put coaches and things like that in the stands, and that's apparently how U of A kind of got to see a little bit better look at Rio. So all's well that ends well, I guess.
That's a good little story. I like that. Good for Pedro. He and I could have done the whole segment on waxing poetically of taking our kids off to school, but nobody cares. So they do care about Robin Williams, though. Robin Williams suspected suicide. Goody's going to join us. He usually comes up on Fridays, but I got some thoughts on Robin Williams, too. I dealt with him at Celebrity Fight Night. He was in the Valley quite a bit with the Celebrity Fight Night, so I've got some thoughts on Robin Williams, too. That's next. I'm Brad Susmat, Sports 360 AZ. AZCentralSports.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio on Twitter. We're at Camp Tonizona. Teams arriving later today. Coverage from Camp T brought to you by the good people at the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. None better than the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. A lot of guys talk about being involved with ASU. None better than the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. Appreciate their support. And Santan Ford, where it's all about you. I'm Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
Comedy for me was a great shield. It's a great way to keep people out. Comedy is a defense and also a weapon. You can use it to decimate people, you know, and to defend against, you know, to hold people back, to defuse them by, if they laugh, they won't hurt you.
The late Robin Williams, good he joins us. Rather than on Friday, I want to have him on today because obviously everybody's just stunned with this story of Robin Williams passing away yesterday afternoon. What were your initial thoughts when you heard the news?
Well, I mean, I think like everybody, so I was shocked. I was, I was stunned that it happened. And then, you know, after sitting there for a few minutes and realizing I might need to weigh in on this or say something about it, I thought, well, maybe it's not so surprising. I mean, it's always surprising. You know, it's like that thing, like if you have a friend or a relative who's been really sick for a long time and they finally die, then, you know, it's still a shock. But something like this, just out of the blue for us, you know, who knows with his family and friends. But, and, you know, he'd struggled with addictions. He had his manager, whoever it is, said that that he had been really depressed lately. But still, I mean, you think of just such a happy, vibrant guy, but, well, seemingly happy.
Well, it's kind of like when Belushi passed away, and I was a teenager. That hit me pretty hard for some reason. I had his posters. I was just a big fan of John Belushi. This one, and I dealt with Robin Williams a little bit, around Celebrity Fight Night, Jimmy Walker's event. He would come in and be a part of that. But I never interviewed him. Did you ever interview Robin Williams?
I never did. But I know a lot of people who did, and they said, and to a person, they all say it was just, you basically just sort of sat there and watched him take off and tried to keep up with him.
But movies, Bill, movies that Robin Williams did, because Mork and Mindy was different. Mork and Mindy, it was at a time where there weren't cable channels and there weren't all these devices. Mork and Mindy was one of those deals where the world basically stopped. There was MASH, there was Chico and the Man, there was Sanford and Son, there was Mork and Mindy. I mean, there was just some sitcoms that really resonated with all of society where the world really stopped on those nights to watch. But when it came to his movies, it was a little bit of a different deal. I think I saw the darker side of Robin Williams in some of his movies. And then The Voice of Aladdin, you know, The Voice of Aladdin was about as funny as you'd ever get.
I think that was, if somebody's asking me yesterday, hey, what was his best movie role? And I don't think that Aladdin was necessarily his the genie. I don't think that was necessarily his best role, but I think it's the one that suited him best in almost anything, TV movies or whatever, because he was no longer bound by like physical limitations. You know what I mean? They could turn him into whatever his mind wanted him to turn into. He could just take off and shape shift and riff and do the things that he was so good at. And he didn't have to, you know, he didn't have to pretend. He could, since it was a cartoon, he could really do it. I mean, I think that was good. I was a Mork man myself because I thought that was, as you say, I mean, you know, 60, 70 million people would watch that show, and that is an unreachable audience. It's not just an unheard of audience now. It is an unreachable audience because it's too fragmented. People don't watch TV the same way that they used to, clearly. However, the thing that I liked about it was just so different. I mean, they were these ABC sitcoms, and there were sitcoms all over the place, and they're all kind of like, yeah, they're fine, just sort of generic. It's what people wanted. It was what was popular then. He comes along, and it's like, I don't think that it is hyperbole to say that we had never seen anybody like him before. I mean, he just would take off, and you'd hang on and enjoy the ride. And I think you saw hints there of what he really could do. Of course, his stand-up is where he was really brilliant.
Here is, we're talking about Goody Kunz, Goody at the Movies, except we're talking about Robin Williams here. Here's the clip from Morgan, an audio file clip of Mork and Mindy, the egg scene with Robin Williams.
Hello? Hello? Anybody in there? Little hatchling brothers, you must revolt against your oppressors. You have nothing to lose but your shells. As much as I like Mindy, it's against intergalactic law to eat fellow space travelers. Fly, be free! Well, I guess we'll have to have a quick burial at sea then.
So, fly, be free actually became part of the vernacular. You and I are about the same age, where we would all do fly, be free, just off that one little scene where the egg kind of took that whole scene and pushed it out into society. It was really, really random.
You know, I would love to see how much – I would love to see a script for Mork and Mindy and see how much of it was it was stuff that was written and how much of it was, you know, like a blank space that says, let Robin go, you know, and just sort of sit back and watch.
Well, and we're talking to Bill Gittykunz, Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, and, of course, chief film critic for Gannett, Sports 360 AZ, talking to Goody about the passing of Robin Williams. You know, Bill, the movie side of it, where Captain My Captain was the one, I was talking to my daughter last night, who literary, she reads and reads and reads, and Captain My Captain is what resonated with here. Here's a clip from Good Will Hunting, which, of course, Robin Williams was able to come away with the big prize. This is Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting.
You feel like you're alone, Will? You have a soulmate?
Define that.
Somebody who challenges you, touches your soul.
I got plenty.
Well, name them.
Shakespeare, Nietzsche, Frost, O'Connor, Kant, Pope, Locke.
That's great. They're all dead.
So, you know, Good Will Hunting, Bill, where would you put that one in the Robin Williams movies?
Really high. I think his movie stuff could be spotty. He's, for whatever reason, he had a real maudlin streak. He could do some real sappy stuff. And, you know, but he seemed to like it, and audiences seemed to like it. But, you know, I don't see Patch Adams showing up on a lot of best of lists today or anything. The thing with Good Will Hunting, though, and as you say, he won his Oscar, I think that you know, Gus Van Sant was the director, and it's not necessarily a case of reining him in, but of sort of, I don't know if muting him is too much to say, but he just, it was so much, that performance was so much inside himself. And for me, the scene in the movie, the best scene in the movie, is when he finally breaks through, and he just holds him and says, it's not your fault. And Matt Damon starts to protest and starts to, and he just keeps repeating, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And then finally Matt Damon just breaks down and starts crying. And I think so does everybody else who's watching the movie. And that was just, that the guy could be as manic as he was on stage and then, you know, like tone it down and do something like that. That's just great stuff.
With here's a clip from Good Morning. This is the last clip. Good Morning Vietnam. Robin Williams passing away yesterday. Talking to Goody. Goody at the Movies. Good Morning Vietnam. Robin Williams.
Good morning Vietnam. Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ.
Now that's probably what you said earlier. Let Robin go. Maybe that's in the script. But without Robin Williams, there's no way, Bill, that movie makes it.
No,
right?
No. I mean, that's the strength of a performer there. I mean, that, you know, he's going to have to carry that. I mean, you think about that. Some of the others, obviously, I have one movie that I'm probably not as high on as a lot of people are, but that is clearly a loved movie, is Mrs. Doubtfire. And without him, that, I mean, what do you got there? What if they, you know, oh, hey, let's put Gilbert Gottfried in this, you know, or something. I mean, not to bag on Gilbert Gottfried, but it's not the same movie.
No, I mean, that's the point of it. There's a lot of these movies that Robin Williams was a part of that who else would you have cast? Who finished second on all these movies that would have been able to pull off what he was able to? But you weren't big on Mrs. Doubtfire, huh?
It's fine. It's good. I just don't think it's up there with movies like Insomnia, for instance. I think that's a really underrated movie where it's he and Al Pacino, and he's the bad guy. I mean, I'm not giving anything away because he pretty much admits he's the bad guy, you know, early on. And he's just creepy. He's, you know, he's sort of evil, and that's a side of, and you know, a lot of comedians and, you know, funny people and stuff, they'll say, you know, they want to do stuff like that because they want to show their range, but you wonder if they really do. They don't necessarily do it a lot, but he seemed willing to just, you know, I liked that. Like, it wasn't, like, when that movie came out, it wasn't a big hype thing. It wasn't, oh, Robin Williams is going to be a bad guy. It's just kind of, he went in and he did it, and he nailed it.
Well, it's like, he had some movies that were just dreadful, in my opinion. Popeye was dreadful. Hook, I was not big on Hook.
No.
Dead Poets Society, I was really big on. If Dead Poets Society is on, I end up stopping and watching. Jumanji, I don't know what it was about Jumanji. It wasn't like I had to see Jumanji over and over and over because of Robin Williams. He still has a movie coming out, right?
He's got a few. He's, you know, they were talking about, they were going to do a sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire, but obviously that's, I mean, nothing's going to happen there. But he did another one of the Night at the Museum movies, and a movie called Merry Friggin' Christmas, which sounds it sounds like something I would want to see.
Night at the Museum, I don't know. But yeah, look, I mean, what's your lasting impression then of Robin Williams?
Well, that to me is kind of like, you know, the last time we're going to see Philip Seymour Hoffman is a supporting actor in one of these Hunger Games movies. This is likely not how you're going to remember him. I think that clearly, in both cases, an unfortunate act of timing where they obviously were gone far sooner than anybody thought they would be. But it's just, I mean, it's weird. I mean, he's been a part of popular culture since, as you say, I mean, since we were kids, basically. And it's weird when somebody like that is all of a sudden not there anymore.
Well, and especially under the circumstance, you know, taking your life, that's what is being looked at, that he took his life. And so you try to connect dots, as anybody would, and whether it's somebody that you and I knew personally, or if it's somebody that is up there in that space of how could somebody take their life when they apparently appear to have all the money in the world, it's because money doesn't equate happiness. And it's pretty evident that he wasn't happy. So I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always.
Well, have fun up there.
Oh, I will. I will. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Okay.
It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Coons for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're on Twitter. Of course, @Brad Sussmat. Doing the show today from Camp Tanazona at Coles Ranch. Beautiful Coles Ranch just outside of Payson, about 18 miles. If you've never been to Arizona State football at Camp T, this is one of those bucket list things for any sports fan. Any sports fan, just come on up here for one day and check it out. The scrimmage is this Saturday, and the place to stay is right here at Coles Ranch. Stay with us. On the road with Arizona State Sun Devil football, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central and the Arizona Republic. We're on White Mountain Radio. Appreciate the partnership with White Mountain Radio. We're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, from Coles Ranch. This is the place to stay if you're coming on up for ASU football through the years. It's great to have the great people here at Coles Ranch. Say, Sussmat, we want you here. These people called me last October and said, you're coming back up, right? And then in May, they had me come up. Yeah, of course. This is the only place to do the show from. And we're upstairs, had some fans that have come on by, said hi. And the team will be arriving later today. And we'll have practices tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and the scrimmage is on Saturday. And we'll be here for that. Eric, are you coming up? Have you moved things around, or what are your plans to be here, or what are you doing?
Yes, I'm confirmed to be at Camp Tanazona probably from Thursday afternoon through Saturday's scrimmage.
Wow. Listen to you. Gonna be big time up here. I think Jared's coming up tomorrow.
He is. And now that I'm married, Brad, I have to plan things out a little different. I have to have a little bit more advance notice. Everyone has to be on the same page. So, you know, I'm learning.
Well, just learn in a hurry. Hey, you married me. This is what I was before the ring came on my finger. This is who I am after. So I have to go.
That's good advice.
So, and you're not going to bring her with. You're not going to bring her with you, are you? I mean, you could.
No, it depends. Depends on her work schedule. She has gone up there, I believe, the last two times for the scrimmage, and she likes going. So yeah. Maybe. Hopefully, it won't. Hopefully, it won't downpour rain like it did a couple of years ago.
Did you see Rory McIlroy's comments yesterday about how him becoming single has helped him?
Absolutely.
You know, I thought of you immediately, and I don't know if yesterday Espo and Jared talked about this at all, but
we did. Yep, they did.
But if they, yeah, well, then I'll keep it real short. But it's one of these deals where I've seen athletes through the years that are wild guys. I mean, they're just crazy. What do you expect? They're in their 20s. They have a decimal point way down the line on their check, and they have all this money at their disposal. They have no idea what they're doing, so they're going to go out and just go crazy. And then somewhere along the way, usually around their late 20s, early 30s, they start to wake up and pull their head out and say, man, I've been living my life with my head in the sand, and this is kind of stupid to do. I don't need to be clubbing at 4 in the morning. I don't need to be at the strip club. I don't need to be with this girl and that girl. All of a sudden, it just kind of hits them. And then you see them when they're in their mid-30s and they're married and they're going to buy the minivan, and they're like, yeah, I kind of ran through all my money in sports. Or you run into the guys that, no, I'm doing really well. And that's what you hope for. That's what you root for. So here's Rory McIlroy saying, yeah, I dumped her. Well, it's fine. Poor girl's getting just ridiculed worldwide. You know, he didn't mean it. It's not like she was crazy girl and I had to get away from her. Because we've all dated crazy girl.
Oh, yeah.
I think I dated crazy girl.
Oh, we all have.
Did you date crazy girl? I'm trying to think.
I did. Yeah, I've had a couple of them in my life. So
couple psychos? Yeah,
I wouldn't say. Psycho is such a psycho is, just off kilter. I guess would be the right. Just different.
Off kilter, Eric on an off kilter date. No, I had some girls that are flat out nuts, but they probably thought I was crazy too. So it's a two-way street. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So this morning, actually, I'll go back to yesterday. Yesterday, I get back from Chicago. And I get into my Ford Fusion, got my wife with me. We get our bags, pull on out of the parking garage, and immediately I go into work mode. I call Eric, I call Jared, I call Jordy, who's now part of our team, and I'm just wanting to get caught up on things and where we're going. So I can do all this while I'm going through freeway traffic. I'm not holding a phone to my ear. I've got the sync support system. So it's a good way for me to do business and to be safe. By the time I got home last night, I was able to go be dad because I'm not sitting there working. Hey, guys, you know how it is when you have that phone that you're looking at. You can take it into the house, and you can answer emails, and you can do text messages, and you can blow off your wife or your girlfriend or your kids to end up working. I work much smarter. By the time I get home, I'm already thinking, how am I going to be a better dad? How am I going to be a better husband? And because I have a vehicle that I can get all my work done in, I'm not having to lock myself in the office at night. It's just another reason why the Ford Fusion with the sync support makes a lot of sense for me. This morning I drove up to Camp T. Nice, easy drive up through Payson. Here in style, luxury, I've got three business meetings up here. People want to get together and learn more about Sports 360 and what we're doing. I may even head up to Pine Top tonight before it's all said and done. So makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? The Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Santan Ford General Manager Tim Hovick, huge ASU supporter. He'll be up here this week. It'll be good to get caught up with Tim. It's at Santan Ford where it is all about you. So I saw where Robert Sarver spoke out about Eric Bledsoe. I'm getting tired of the Eric Bledsoe story, but when the owner comes out and says, we value Eric as a player, I hope at some point we'll be able to sit down and meet with those guys and make a deal. This comes on the back end of where Bledsoe said the Suns are, quote, using restricted free agency against me. So you've got two sides here that are dug in. You have the owner saying the absolute right thing. Here's a little bit more from Robert Sarver. He's telling Paul Coro with this AZ Central. Maybe that's just posturing and negotiating, Sarver said of the reports, the Suns' relationship with Bledsoe soured. We haven't heard from the guy in 4 months, so I couldn't tell you. Now, that's a shot. I do know that when he played here, he felt good about the organization, his coaching staff, and his teammates at the end of the season. we had the same feelings toward him. So to think that if this is all going to be settled and this is just an agent spat with the Suns and that they're going to sign the deal, no matter what the deal looks like, and that they're going to get together and sing Kumbaya, and they're going to be at a press conference, and you know, Ryan McDonough should be the one talking about this. Instead, I'm going to hear from Juan Babby, who I don't want to hear from, because every time I see him, I think of Josh Childress and Hedo Turkoglu and all the just awful deals, Hakeem Warrick, that were in that era. So we're going to have this little get-together, and it's like, this is assuming they get it worked out. And I'm assuming that they will. I can't imagine that we're going to start the season with Bledsoe not being around on the team. The best case scenario for these two sides is to come to an agreement and he gets to camp. I think the even better case scenario is next January, the Suns look at the trade deadline and figure out where they are, because I don't see them being appreciably better than where they are. They finished last season. I see them as a fringe playoff team. All the momentum built up at the end of last year is gone. They haven't done, in my opinion, much of anything to advance this team into an upper echelon squad. They may think they're the fifth or sixth or seventh best team. I don't see that in the Western Conference. I don't see it at all. So, you know, Robert Sarver can say all the right things. Both sides are to blame on this. I blame the player more, though. I do blame the player. The organization has to be blamed to a point, because they're the ones that went out and made this deal to bring him in. And they must have felt like, oh, we'll get this done. So they overestimated. So now we're stuck here. So that's going on. The Tony Stewart story, as we sit here right now, nothing's changed. I actually thought ESPN did a very good job on that on Sunday morning. I was in a hotel in Chicago. Actually, Sunday morning. Got my days mixed up. Sunday morning, I was in a hotel in Chicago and was riveted because they were showing the video, including the accident, which now people are not showing it all the way through. They showed Tony Stewart running over the guy. And for context's sake, I think you have to look at what happened there rather than the video stopping just as the vehicle and Kevin Ward Jr. collide. Tony Stewart has not talked as of yet, so rather than me sit here and try and cut through what both sides are saying, I know this, NASCAR guy is really not happy that his sport is getting so much national attention. And it's one of those stories that's the way it is. The sport has been in a spot where the popularity of it is not what it once was. The hardcore fan is still there. It's no coincidence, it's no surprise that over the weekend, the race that Tony Stewart was supposed to go in Watkins Glen did a tremendous rating number, because all of a sudden, everybody wanted to learn more about this and figured they'd get it during the race. There's no decision if Stewart will drive in this weekend's NASCAR race at Michigan International Speedway. I myself, sitting here on a Tuesday, feel a little uncomfortable about that. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, there's plenty of content up on sports360az.com. Whether it's college, high school, pro, we go lots of different directions. We're Arizona-centric today from Coles Ranch at Camp Tonizona, thanks to the good people at the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. Off we go to hour number two on Sports 360 AZ with AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic day in and day out. We're on White Mountain Radio as well and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. It's time to walk United. Every week, head coach Michael Dello Russo joins me throughout the season. Brad Sussmat with you. I also do the games for AZ United SC. They'll be hosting Pittsburgh this Saturday night over at the Peoria Sports Complex. But Michael is off this week. So joining us is the captain of AZ United SC, Matt Castle, jumps on board for a couple of minutes on Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Thursday they're at OKC Energy. Saturday they are at home. Matt, it's Brad. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm fine. I'm actually about 20 miles outside of Payson. Have you been able to get around Arizona much?
To be honest with you, not too much. I'm usually on I live in Scottsdale, so I'm in Scottsdale, and then I just drive to Peoria for training in the game, so I haven't really explored too much, to be honest. But just
Well, let me just fill you in here. I'm at about, I don't know, about 90 miles from where you are in Scottsdale. I'm out in the middle of the forest. There's a football field down here. I'm at elevation. I got bears around me. That's what I got, Matt. That's what I got going here.
Well, at least they can hunt your food for you.
Well, I bring it up because, you know, Arizona is a great altitude training space, not just for football teams. They come up here and they get away and all that stuff. But, you know, Flagstaff at elevation, there's some great soccer training that goes on at elevation up there. How have you found Arizona, being the captain of the team, coming here in March to where you are now?
I think we grew a lot. I mean, obviously everybody knows how quickly the team was put together in such a short time period. So it was, it was tough for the organization to start with that way, with, you know, Kevin Stevenson and our owner Kyle Ring, and then, you know, hiring Dello, and then Dello and Kevin coming together and putting the team together in such a short period of time. It is not easy, and I think we saw those kind of wrinkles in the beginning. You know, obviously everybody had to get adjusted to each other in such a short time. But, you know, now over the whole course of the season, basically, I think you've seen how much we've grown. Everybody, between the chemistry on the field, the chemistry off the field, and just the organization and all, and, you know, it shows how much Kyle has, you know, belief in us and is put behind us and wants us to succeed and wants this program to succeed and the sports to basically succeed in this area.
The captain, Matt Castle, with Brad Sussmat. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Castle, KASSEL. First name, MATT, KASSEL. You can follow him on Twitter, the captain of AZ United SC. They're home on Saturday, hosting Pittsburgh at 7:30 out at the Peoria Sports Complex. Just a couple of home matches left in the season. For you to come here, what was the attraction when they came to you? How did the dots connect for you to come to Arizona?
Well, it was at a point for me where, you know, I had a couple of choices, and you know, I just got released from the Philadelphia Union and MLS, and it was a point where I was trying to, you know, scatter around, look for a team. I had a couple of choices, and Dello, you know, I have a connection with Dello. He went to the University of Maryland, he coached at the University of Maryland, and I went to the University of Maryland, and I played, Dello came in as an assistant coach my last year at Maryland. So I had a connection, you know, we were very familiar with each other, and, you know, we trusted each other, and it was something that, you know, we spoke about in length, and it was a decision that was pretty easy at the end of the day. I mean, I came out here and you know, I've loved it since. Good group of guys, and, you know, I'm happy at the end of the day of where I'm at and what the decision I made.
What do you like most about this team as the season has progressed?
I think we have a young, talented group, and, you know, it's every day you never know what, you know, what's going to happen in a way with the younger guys is, you know, as you see everybody come together, it's an exciting because you see how much talent they have and each and every day you see that. But everybody doesn't really see that on an everyday basis unless you're there with us. You know, games are games, and, you know, at the end of the day, that's when you have to perform. But we see these guys at a you know, everyday basis, and, you know, there's really some exciting talent here. I think, you know, it really, you know, opens your eyes, you know, at times and sometimes with some of the different things that, you know, players do. And it's great to see. And it's just, again, it's great to see how much soccer in this community has grown and the players, especially the younger guys on this team, of where they can lead this, you know, organization to.
Talking with Matt Castle, the captain of AZ United FC, with Brad Sussmat. United is home Saturday night against Pittsburgh. Were you surprised with Landon Donovan retirement? I thought Henri would be the first one to call it a career. Were you surprised Donovan did it last week?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it was a bit surprising. I think it shocked quite a few people. But at the end of the day, I don't think he really had another World Cup in him. Was he 32 years old? So he'd be 36 at that point. And I think, you know, he realized that it was time. You know, he's put his effort in for, you know, many years now, and I think it's time that he thought was maybe, you know, him, for him to step back and kind of just watch it all. You know, he was arguably the best player ever in the history of U.S. soccer. And, you know, he's an incredible talent. He's an incredible guy. And it's great to see for the sport and how much he's built since he started. And he's really, you know, the leader behind it. And I'm sure he'll continue to promote the sport and keep pushing it and getting to even higher. And I'm sure he has many things ahead for him. But, yeah, it was definitely surprising. But I think it's well-deserved for him.
Matt, where would you put him among the best American players? Because, you know, Reyna and Howard, there's a lot of names, but is it Landon Donovan and everybody else, in your opinion, when you're talking about USA soccer?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, if you look over everything that's happened, you know, Landon has really stuck out and been that guy and is really, you know, I'd say he led this generation. Of people, you know, led this generation in our sport. Obviously, like you said, you have Coley Arena, you know, Tab Ramos, Tony Miola, John Harks, and all those guys that kind of built it and in the beginning stages. And now you have a guy like Landon Donovan who really just took that next step for the sport and really pushed it forward. And I think that's where we're at today, and I'm sure there'll be another guy coming up, you know, soon to really take over the reins of what Landon left us.
When you're done playing, I saw on your Twitter feed, founder CEO of Castle LLC. What are your business aspirations? Where do you go when you're done playing on the field?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, obviously you have to look at outside of soccer what you want to do when you're done. So you can't do it for the rest of your life, but yeah, I have my own business. I'm in the process of inventing a product right now. So once we start, you know, filing for the patent and all that good stuff, you know, I'm going to be more on the business end of things. I would see myself as a business major in college, so I'm probably more in the business field after soccer. But that being said, you know, I never ruled out, you know, possibly doing something with coaching or any of that stuff. But, you know, We'll see where the road leads us.
So if you're an inventor and you haven't filed the patents, you're not going to tell me. Is it bigger than a bread box and smaller than an airplane? Is it one of those deals?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. We'll keep it quite quiet for a little bit, but pretty soon that we'll get out there.
Sounds good. I appreciate the visit and the time. Thanks, Matt.
No worries. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You got it. There's Matt Castle, AZ United SC, every week, part of Sports 360 AZ. They are home this Saturday night hosting Pittsburgh at 7:30. They have a couple of matches left in the regular season. 7:30 this Saturday night, home against Pittsburgh, and that will be at the Peoria Sports Complex. We'll be out there for that. Really like the players. Really like what they're all about. So the rain has started pouring up here at Coles Ranch. Eric, I think I told you that Todd Graham, when I was with him up at the White Mountains, the White Mountain Sun Devil event, and we went fishing, and we're driving back, and he said, "What do you need? What do you need?" And I said, "Well, I kind of like to do the show down on the field. But, you know, these storms come rolling through, and I don't think I'd – whatever you need, Brad, we'll get a line put in for you down there. Whatever it takes, you can do your show right there on the field." This is the reason why I said, "Coach," and I don't think he got it. I said, "Coach, I can't be out there. It is pouring here at Coles Ranch." And plus, I think you would not be happy – being the producer of a show where I was getting everything wet. So so it's pouring up here, just
yeah,
so you know.
Well, it's supposed to pour down here in Phoenix,
fun.
Too. So
yeah, well, it's coming. Practices start tomorrow. They only go once a day. The team arrives later today. And I always like being here at Camp Tonizona because you can pull a player aside. And I'm not looking for the regular guys. I mean, through the years, it doesn't matter. I can go all the way back to the Bruce Snyder era. You just pull guys aside and visit with them and get to know them a little bit more. I've already talked to Taylor Kelly a lot. I've talked to DJ Foster a lot. Last year here at Camp Tonizona is when I spent a significant amount of time getting to know Jalen Strong and what makes him tick. I talked with Will Sutton a lot last year. I want to spend some time talking to DJ Calhoun and Marcus Ball. Now, you can go out to practices and you can stand there and go through. There's guys that do that, and that's fine. Now that you get to Camp Tonizona, it's a different sort of pressure that you're going to start to see on these players. They're going to be stretched a little bit. They're going to be pushed a lot because we're coming up on just 3 weeks away from the season opener. I think the kickoff luncheon's in just a couple of weeks. So here at Camp Tonizona, they get away, they stretch him out. There's some access I'm going to be giving up here that I haven't had before that I'm looking forward to being around the players. Very much look forward to that. And, again, we'll have shows up here at Coles Ranch tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. The scrimmage is on Saturday. Jared Cohen will be here with me tomorrow and Thursday morning. Eric Sorensen will be up here on Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday as well. And plenty of content for you up on sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. Have you flown Gateway out of, flown Allegiant out of Gateway? Take Allegiant out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport can get you to nearly 40 different locations. They're bringing Cincinnati on board. They're bringing Provo, Utah on board. You can get direct to Provo 5 days a week. Want to go see the Oregon Ducks? You can fly direct from Mesa Gateway into Eugene, Oregon, direct into Oakland, direct into Las Vegas. There are a lot of different directions for you. That's on Allegiant Airlines, where it is just plain easy out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, just plain easy. Here is Todd Graham on our expectations and goals have not changed as they get ready to head up the hill. They'll be here at Camp Tonizona in just a few hours.
I like this football team, and our motto is unfinished business, and that's to be Pac-12 champions. And our program is going to be about winning championships. The goal you can see on the back of the wall back there is to be national champions, and that's every rep, every day, everything we do.
Todd Graham there, and much more as we continue on. Our coverage from Camp Tonizona here at Coles Ranch brought to you by the White Mountain ASU Alumni Chapter. None do it better. A lot of people talk about this and that, but the people at the White Mountain Arizona State Sun Devil Alumni Chapter, they do it right here at Coles Ranch, thanks to Coles Ranch, and Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.